All right. We spent a couple of weeks with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And they're kind of wacky. And then we spent a couple of weeks with the Mormons. And they're kind of wacky. And in fact, they're wackier. But now we're going to go to maybe something that you maybe have less contact with, although in some circles it's pretty much a force. We'll talk to you for a little while tonight about Scientology. And this is wacky. I mean, somebody was making fun of me for saying some people's light bulb isn't burnt out, it just needs to be screwed in tighter. I don't think these people have light bulbs. Scientology. Scientology was founded by a guy. Anybody know? L. Ron Hubbard. Yep. Hubbard was born in Nebraska, of all places, 1911. Made several claims. It turns out this guy is nothing but a fraud. In truth, I'm not talking about a fraud, even in the respect of. Not even in the respect of the Pope, not even in the respect of a Joseph Smith, but even beyond that. I mean, a fraud even beyond that particular point. Various things, for instance, he claims that he graduated from George Washington University as a nuclear physicist, whereas the university records show that he only attended for 2 years, had less than a D average, and failed physics. Odd that a nuclear physicist would fail physics. He then claims that he got a PhD from Sequoia University in California, yet there's no university by that name that grants PhDs. So this guy is a real strange fella. Let me read you some things. Let me read you how this Scientology thing goes. Scientology is comprised... By the way, Scientology is the... is the religion of the movie stars. I guess the Tom Cruises and I guess John Travolta's of the world, they're Scientologists for what it's worth. Scientology is comprised exclusively of the teachings of one man, L. Ron Hubbard. Hubbard's theories, assumptions, and techniques for practical applications that make up the rituals of Scientology are sometimes called spiritual technology. Hubbard claimed to have discovered certain natural laws of the spiritual universe, which he claimed can be used to predict and control behavior and phenomena in a manner similar to the way in which the natural laws in the physical scientists can be used to predict and control phenomena in the physical world. Well, Scientology assumes that spirituality and thought is an energy existing in its own universe. Now, this spirituality and thought is called Theta. Theta. Ooh, it has a name. And the spirituality and thought is separate and distinct from the physical universe, and that spirit is senior to the physical universe. Each individual person is considered to be a thought unit in the spiritual universe. Now, since the spiritual thought is called Theta, each of these individual persons is called a thetan. Thetan, for what it's worth. I should have got my board out. Oh, well. Anyway, these people, you, these thetans, these thought units, interact with the physical universe, usually by inhabiting a human body. We've put it all together now, haven't we? The Scientology term thetan is what has commonly been known as the spirit, and it is defined in Scientology as the source of life. It is recognized as the core of personality or essence of oneself. Okay, well, here's the deal. Scientology proposes that in its native state, the spirit, the thetan, or thetan, is immortal and godlike.
and possesses the potentiality of knowing everything.
Now, you know what, folks? There is nothing new under the sun. You know, the first showdown with man and the devil had the devil telling them if they would take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would be as gods, okay? That's all this junk is. This guy, probably without ever reading the Bible, went back to that very thing and says that, you know, that's what it's all about. Anyway, you Thetians, if everything went right, have the possess the potential of knowing everything, and that in present time, these things have been lost and forgotten. As an immortal entity, the spirit lives on after bodily death and is born into a new physical body again and again. So it's just redone, you know, I can't think of the name of it, reincarnation. Anyway, this happens again and again, lifetime after lifetime, in an endless cycle of birth and death. As a result of traumatic incidents extending back from the present life, through a long series of past lifetimes hidden from conscious memory, the spirit has become trapped in the physical body and the physical universe. The content, you know, you should know about these traumatic incidents. Content of these traumatic incidents may influence a person's current life. Now, this guy was this guy's a Freudian. Just going back, you know, life after time after lifetime. Okay, these traumatic incidents, which you can't remember because, you know, you forgot them, cause you physical and mental illnesses, irrational thoughts, acting out behavior. It limits your creativity and your other abilities. Scientology claims that these traumatic incidents... This sounds like something that a movie star would get into. Doesn't it? Scientology claims that these traumatic incidents, along with each spirit's personal history, are recorded in complete detail on a time track, which for each person is many trillions of years in length. Scientology proposes that through a process called auditing that uses techniques developed by Hubbard himself, an individual can be guided into each of these traumatic incidents where he gets to deal with it, and he gets to, quote-unquote, discharge his hidden traumas of all the times in the past that he was wronged, thus escaping the suffering and limitations imposed by the past. Further, as one progresses through a series of auditing levels, one can eventually be restored to native state and can attain the status of operating thetans. Now, an operating thetan is a guy that he is really high up. L. Ron Hubbard said that Jesus Christ was not even an operating thetan. So you can achieve a level higher than, spiritual level higher than Jesus Christ. As an operating thetan, you can be free of attachments to the body, and even while exterior to the body, one can consciously control matter, energy, space, time, thought, and life. Hubbard's writings and lectures include many tantalizing details of the godlike abilities that may be gained through auditing. It is estimated for Scientologists that the levels through which a participant progresses make up what is called the bridge to total freedom. Progress through all the levels of the bridge often take many years of dedicated study, and the cost in fees for the services of Scientologists may run you between $300,000 to $500,000 before you ever get up to being an operating thetan. Now, this is where, I'm telling you, this guy's weird. According to examples given in Scientology, the content of the whole of the time track incidents can include all kinds of things that have affected you in your past lives. Acts of torture and violence, encounters with the Markab Confederacy. You'll see kind of what that's about in a little while. And various invader forces from space-faring galactic civilizations. Yeah! JWs are just downright conservative, aren't they? You also may be suffering. You also may be suffering trauma in your life because at one point in your life you may have been a clam. Serious. Anyway, well, this is where it gets weird. While many of the traumatic incidents addressed in auditing are unique to the individual, some key incidents are thought to be common to all humans on planet Earth. One very important such incident occurred some 75 million years ago. Scientology warns that until one has completed a series of preparatory steps, exposure to the details of this particular incident can cause severe illness and death. Thus, these details are carefully guarded and kept secret until you reach a level called Operating Thetan 3. The member is deemed properly prepared and is granted permission to view this particular information. Well, it turns out there's a web link, and even though I'm not an operating Thetan 3, I couldn't resist going and finding out what this incident was. Hey, do I look damaged? Yeah, probably. Okay. Turns out that they had actually on display an actual copy of this thing in L. Ron Hubbard's very handwriting. But here is the transcript of the 75 million year old incident that, unless you're ready for it, you could die. The head of the Galactic Confederation, 76 planets around larger stars visible from here. That confederation, by the way, was founded 95 million years ago. Solved overpopulation by mass implanting. The head of that confederation, he caused people to be brought to Tigigak, which is Earth, and put a H-bomb on the principal volcanoes. And then the Pacific area ones, which were taken in boxes, I guess the bombs, were taken in boxes to Hawaii. And this guy's name is Xenu, X-E-N-U. So if you ever see him, run. Anyway, he used renegades. Remember, this doesn't make sense maybe because it's in his very... You know, this isn't actually, you know, what he wrote down in the paper, but various misleading data by means of circuits were placed in the implants. When through with this crime, loyal officers captured him after 6 years of battle, put him in an electronic mountain trap where he still is. They are gone. The place has since been a desert. Do I look damaged? I'm serious. You're supposed to be damaged from that. You should know that this is the story of, this is the verifiable biography of L. Ron Hubbard, and then later what he says about himself. This guy was born in Tilden, Nebraska, son of a Navy officer, educated in public schools in Montana, California, and Washington, attended George Washington University. He would later claim to have advanced degrees in sciences and civil engineering. His first year grade average was a D. His second and final year was no better. He received a D in calculus and electrical and magnetic physics, an F for molecular and atomic physics. He had no further formal education. He finally produced a book called Dianetics, which is what's supposed to be propounded by, you know, Scientologists. Here is what he claims to be so. Trained as a nuclear physics, as a nuclear physicist rather, at the age of six he was honored with the status of blood brother of the Blackfeet in a ceremony that is still recalled by tribal elders. So I go find a Blackfoot Indian and see if L. Ron Hubbard, well, whatever. He was up and down the China coast several times in his teens, from Peking to Manchuria. He was the youngest Eagle Scout in the history of the Boy Scouts. With virtually no training, he takes up powered flight and barnstorms through the Midwest. His family owned a ranch a third the size of Montana. His first action on leaving college was to blow off steam by leading an expedition into Central America. The next few years he headed three, all of them undertaken to study savage peoples and cultures to provide fodder for his articles and stories. I didn't probably tell you that what he turned out to be in the 30s was a science fiction writer. And out of some of this science fiction idea, he became the founder of Dianetics. He's supposed to have served in the South Pacific. Now, this is what he says. And in 1942 was relieved by 15 officers of rank and was rushed home to take part in the 1942 battle against German submarines as commanding officer of a corvette serving in the North Atlantic. In 1943, he was made Commodore of corvette squadrons, and in 1944, he worked with amphibious forces. After serving in all five theaters of World War II and receiving 21 medals and so on, in 1944, he was severely wounded, taken crippled, and blinded to Oak Knoll Naval Hospital. He spent 11 years researching Dianetics, and none of those things are true whatsoever. None of them are at all, period, are true. I thought I'd give you a couple of examples on some things that he teaches. Oh, this is another thing about him. National governments, this guy was a paranoid, weirdo, CIA wannabe freak. He has been responsible for running spy rings just for Scientology, not for the government or anything like that. The guy is a complete wacko. National governments of a number of countries have investigated the Scientology organization, issued warnings about the veracity of its claims. Scientology's troubles with the United States government have included a raid by the Food and Drug Administration, Internal Revenue Service audits, rulings, and judgments concerning the collection and taxation of millions of dollars of annual church income, an FBI raid of church offices in Washington and Los Angeles, indictments and convictions in federal court of leading Scientologists for burglary, obstruction of justice, wiretapping, harboring fugitives, and conspiracy against the United States. Let me see here. You'll like this if I can find it. Oh, yeah. Here's an example. While the sales of Dianetics, which is the science that he purports to have set forth, and the growth of the Scientology centers are extremely impressive, the claims of Scientology often sound more like science fiction. For instance, here is one story. Now, before you know what this is, I told you a thetian or an operating thetan is like a soul or a spirit. But there are two or three levels. If you are a pre-clear, you're just a student of Scientology. If you're a clear, then you're a little ahead, and then you might one day become a thetan. Okay? Well, one pre-clear said that this thetan had inhabited the body of a doll on planet Mars 469,476,600 years ago. Martians seized the doll and took it to a temple where it was zapped by a bishop's gun while the congregation chanted God is love. The thetan was then put into an ice cube, placed aboard a flying saucer, and dropped off at planet ZX-432, where it was given a robot body, then put to work unloading flying saucers. Being a bit unruly, it zapped another robot to death and was shipped off in a flying saucer to be punished, but the flying saucer exploded and the thetan fell into space. Okay. From 1966 through 1975, Hubbard lived aboard the group's floating headquarters, the 300-foot boat Apollo. He ruled the organization from behind an almost impenetrable wall of trusted associates and aides, spending most of his time from 75 to 79 in seclusion in a desert claimed in California. No one, including his wife or any Scientologist, will admit to having seen Hubbard personally since March of 1980. So, I mean, we're talking supreme wacko. Does this tell you how smart movie stars are? A couple of examples of writings of Hubbard. There are gods above all other gods, and gods beyond the gods of the universe. You will find the cross as a symbol all over the universe of the Christ legend, as an implant in pre-clears a million years ago. Neither Lord Buddha nor Jesus Christ were operating thetans, according to evidence. They were just a shade above clear. So Jesus Christ wasn't even an operating thetan. I hope you remember what that was. It is despicable and utterly beneath contempt to tell a man he must repent and that he is evil. Personal salvation in one lifetime is freedom from the cycle of birth and death. Religious practice of all faiths is the universal way to wisdom, understanding, and salvation. Hell is a total myth, an invention just to make people very unhappy, and is a vicious lie. So, there you go. Any questions or comments? Kathy. Don't they still have, I know there's Christian Science, you know, reading rooms, but I think there's Scientology, you know, outlets all over the place too, unless I'm mistaken. Yeah, that's what I thought so. Steve? No. Mm-mm. No, we'll get Christian Science later. Yes, ma'am. Well, there you are. Yes, sir. I don't think so. I didn't read if they did. Because he wrote his own stuff. And Jesus, after all, was only a step above clear. He was not an operating thetan. So he was no authority to speak. Yes, sir. I don't know how to answer that. All right, yes. Themselves. It's you're your own God. If you know you can get out of this cycle of life and death. You know, if you can get out of that, then you'll, you know. I don't know. Nobody's talked to him since 80 or before. I don't know if he's still alive. They don't know if he's still alive. Nobody will admit if he is or isn't. Weird. Yes, ma'am? I was going to say, it's kind of like Battlestar Galactica and, you know, I don't know what all else. He's just a Trekkie. That's all. Just an old Trekkie. I don't know. All right, next thing I was going to take up, I chose a couple of short ones just for the sake of it tonight. For, I don't know, there's several others. Like I said, we'll eventually get to Seventh-day Adventism, Adventism, Christian Science, some other things and all. But we'll talk to you about Moonies. Sometimes you see Moonies, sometimes that's them on the corner selling selling flowers. But the proper name is the Unification Church. I don't know if you know anything about this, but unless I'm mistaken, doesn't that church own the Washington Post? Is that correct? Washington Times, okay? The Country Kitchen? Man. All right. All right. The founder's name, his original name was Yong Myung Moon. Not Sun Myung Moon, but Yong Myung Moon. That actually means Shining Dragon Moon. He was actually born in 1920 in North Korea. His parents were supposedly Christians, a Presbyterian branch of Korean Christians. But he dabbled in spiritism and talking to demons and stuff like that. And finally, at 16, he claims to have been visited by Jesus Christ and was told that the world would be changed through him. And that the quote was from Christ to Moon, that Moon was to carry out my undone task. So basically, this guy studied the Bible on his own and formulated his own basic religious system. After World War II, 1945, here's what happened. He received the revelation that began the Unification Church. In this visionary ceremony, Moon was declared to be the one through whom the world would be saved. After 9 years of search and struggle, the truth of God was sealed into Moon's hands. At that moment, he became the absolute victor of heaven and earth. The whole spirit world bowed down to him on that day of victory, to Moon. For not only had he freed himself completely from the accusation of Satan, but he was now able to accuse Satan before God. Satan totally surrendered to him on that day, for he had elevated himself to the position of God's true son. The weapon to subjugate Satan then became available to all mankind through Sun Myung Moon. He wrote a book called Divine Principle, which is in part their Bible. By 1948, the Presbyterian Church that he was a member of excommunicated him and rid itself of him. Briefly after that, he renamed himself Sun Myung Moon, which means shining sun and moon. I mean, you can't run around being the shining dragon moon. So he renamed himself to be the shining sun and moon. He was actually arrested in 1948 by communists for capitalism, true, but also for bigamy. Turns out this guy's nothing but a dirty old man. In 1954, so this has really been going on since the late 40s and early 50s, he formed something called the Holy Spirit Association for the Unification of World Christianity. He again was arrested in 1955 for draft evasion and for sexual promiscuity. And there are, some things that I'm not sure that I'm interested in actually telling you all that they are. Let us just say that in the original way that folks joined the church was to allow Mr. Moon access to the ladies. One longtime follower of Moon added an interesting sidelight to this, and I'm going to try to be a little bit evasive with this, but it is possible that these rituals for joining the church were part of the early church in Korea. Since to the Moonies, original sin came through Eve's relationship with Lucifer, through which she received his evil characteristics. It is perfectly logical that the reversal of this, that a woman's contact with a perfect man, that she would receive a perfect character. The perfect man would be, of course, Mr. Moon. Finally, in 1972, Moon announced that the United States was to become the beneficiary of his missionary activities. And so he brought his unification theology to America. Of course, there's money in America. There's not any in North Korea. But anyway, so he came here. As part of his missionary preparation, he accumulated an enormous missionary fund, largely from Japanese followers. This money was deposited in a Chase Manhattan Bank in New York in Reverend Moon's name rather than in the unincorporated name of the Unification Church. The Unification Church was not incorporated in the United States till 76. It was the U.S. government's questioning of the use and tax status of this money which resulted in Moon's trial and conviction of tax fraud in 1983. Reverend Moon began his 18-month prison term July 20, 1984. Despite criticism of Moon and his church by most major religious bodies in the U.S., many religious spokespersons have testified on Moon's behalf in this instance. The bottom line, Sky, they've been very active on social fronts and so on. To give you an example, the story of the Unification Church in America since 72 has been a startling combination of good and devastating publicity. The church has been praised for pouring millions of dollars into struggling local economies. Moon lives, actually, on a 25-acre estate in Irvington, New York. The $850,000 Belvedere estate in Tarrytown, New York, is campus for the Unification Seminary. Moon's net worth is somewhere over $15 million, and this was back in 1987. The church frequently buys struggling industries in depressed areas, fishing co-ops in Louisiana, for example, and turns them into profit-making companies with member help, and so on. Like you said, he owns the Washington Times and all those things. But like I said, this guy is a pretty weird one. By the time you read a little bit of this, you realize that he's just a dirty old man. Anyway, with their theology is that God is one. In other words, there's no three parts. There's no Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God is one. And of course, Jesus Christ is not God. It's the case with all these folks. The Holy Spirit does not have a place in Mooney theology, although a female spirit did come upon Christ at the crucifixion. Creation is a projection of God in material form. That is, man is a direct incarnation of God. That is, God projected himself into man. And so man is the visible form of God, and God is the invisible form of man. So once again, man is God. The same, folks, it's Genesis 3 over and over and over and over and over again. So, Lucifer got jealous of Adam and Eve and corrupted Eve. And then Adam got infected with Eve's sin. And so that's why we're fallen. Noah and Abraham and Jacob and Jesus were all men who happened to fail to fulfill the plan of God's salvation. And Jesus was doing good. But John the Baptist failed in his mission, and therefore Christ had to do John's job, so Christ didn't do Christ's job. So Christ failed in his task. And Moon is the guy that takes over. And oh, by the way, Jesus Christ was intended to marry a perfect woman to establish spiritual and physical salvation, but he was crucified before he could get around to doing that. So that's why we're not perfect. Through crucifixion, and this is a quote, God and Jesus lost everything, and when Christ died, Satan invaded his body. When Christ was resurrected, he was only resurrected spiritually. Jesus is the spiritual true father of man represented by the tree of life. The Holy Spirit is the spiritual true mother of man represented by the tree of knowledge. So, man is unsaved, he is physically unredeemed, and God needs a perfect and righteous volunteer. And more than anything else, he needs a man and his wife who are the perfect family in order to proceed forth, and of course, that is the moon family. And really, the truth is, according to them, you're not really right, your family is not really right, unless Reverend Moon marries you in one of those mass wedding things. If you just get married at, you know, someplace else, well, you're out of the will of God. So, now look, you folks get all the time that you're nuts and that you're fanatics and that you're weirdos. And you know what? People do not know what these nutcases believe. I mean, really. I mean, we hit the JWs and those JWs are raving sane compared to these people. I know. I mean, you start, you know, you go off into the, you know, into Mormons and you're on the downhill slide, but man, you slide off into Scientology and Moonies and anyway. That's all I got. Anybody have any questions or comments? Anybody want to give a testimony of how good it is to be a Christian? I mean, really? Yes, ma'am. Was that a Mooney or was that a Krishna's? Yeah, same difference. It doesn't matter. Yes, ma'am. Or sir. I'm sorry. Yeah, they sell flowers on the street corners sometimes. We had Moonies drop in here one time after church one night, and she stood back there and told me that, well, they believe things just like we did, and Reverend Moon and da da da. When confronted with the fact that Moon thought that he was completing Jesus Christ's perfect work and all, they pretty much just left. But I mean, they would have sold themselves to be right in line with all of us, and Reverend Moon is just a fine Christian. It's just weird. Isaac. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you don't even know what to say, really. I mean, you know, if somebody's going to be unfair enough to lump, you know, you in with them, what do you say after that? Jackie? Their goal is to get out of it's like I said, it's Battlestar Galactica, Star Trek meets Buddhism or something where, you know, if you become an operating thetan, you quit living and dying and you can manipulate the physical world around you, you know, and you can levitate, you know, book stops and stuff, you know, I suppose, and bend nails with your mind and all that kind of stuff, but that's the goal. Brother Day. Amen. The devil's done the job, hasn't he? I mean, you know, anybody shows any religious fervor whatsoever, and they're a complete Moni Krishna wacko. It's weird. Yes, sir? Yeah. Yeah, apparently in order to reach the operating thetan level, you have to spend about $500,000 through the years to buy all the materials and to basically get there. Yeah, they live in fantasy land anyway, so. Anything else? Dawn? Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, you get through all that anyway. Brother Mark? Yeah. And it seems like the wackier they are, the more people they affect. It's unbelievable. Anything else? I mean, it's kind of, you're kind of speechless after this because it's like, well, how much stupider can you be? What do you even say to somebody to be sucked in by this? But again, part of this is to say, well, you know, we get accused of stuff all the time, but I mean, there's wackos, I guess, but then there's wackos. I mean, you should never call a JW a wacko again. They're... Yes, sir. Go ahead. Steve. Mr. Hex. Amen. All right. Let's stand and sing a couple here. I thought that was going to take a little longer than it took, but let's stand and sing. Let me find out what this is just a second here. Let's sing 183. Thank you. closing? Brian? $4.99. Okay. $4.99. Father, thank you for a good night tonight, Lord. And once again, we're happy to be able to be Christians tonight, Father. What we call our religion, Lord, is nothing like the kind of shot in the dark that there's an awful lot of people in this world that believe. Father, Hinduism even, and Buddhism, Lord, Islam do not hold even the faintest candle to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're glad for it. We pray that you'd help us to be faithful, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.